This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chipper here, as he always is on Mondays. It's 2:08. Chip, like all of our guests, John Schuster, Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, sir. Let's start with the title game. Best of five series, 2-2, Lynx, Liberty. Not a lot of artistry offensively. A lot of missed shots. Sabrina Nescu maybe should be investigated for throwing the game. She was so putrid. She was so dreadful. So where's your balance as you consume all this? How much credit do you want to give the Liberty for winning this game? How much blame do you want to assign to the Lynx? And how much do you want to talk about the officiating in a number of baffling calls, which more often than not last night did not go Minnesota's way?
Well, I think you have to talk about the officiating because I thought they ruined the game. This is not even – we'll get to the last thing there with Stewart, but I understand the notion of letting the players to decide the game and not over-officiating a championship game, but that was absurd. The level of physicality that was in that game, I thought it ruined the product, quite honestly. I mean, it was a wrestling match. I mean, they were just – players were just pummeling each other, and – to me, it got out of control, and it just interfered with what should have been a great game against a couple of teams with superstar scores. And it was just hard to watch, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. The missed shot, I think, I don't know if all the missed shots were part of the defense, part of the way the game was being played, part of the game five nerves, all of that factored in. But I just thought it was way over the top in terms of letting them get away with things.
You can look back at a number of series, whether it's a five-game series or seven-game series, where the last game is a low-scoring game. Teams are so familiar with each other, and nerves are a part of it. And yes, there was good defense. There was also some dreadful offense. But on the officials, let's contrast game four in game five. Game four, when Carlton hits the two free throws late, the Wolves shot 15 of 20. The Liberty were 9-9. So that's plus 11 for the Lynx. Last night, the Liberty were 21 of 25, and the Lynx were 7 of 8. I think the two of us are pretty good at just objective and observing things. And yeah. I'll admit, I ended up complaining more about the officials last night than I think any game I've watched, and I cannot tell you how long. Did I feel like some calls went the Lynx way in game four? I did. I did. But the preponderance of calls last night, and you're so right, because they established early they were going to get out of the way, and it was
–
it was too much. It just was too much. So let's get to the end, and let's just get to the sequence too, because They score six straight. Stewart misses the two free throws, which is forgotten, like because she makes two later. Yeah. She misses two again, just like she did in game one. And now they have the ball in their hands. And in the end, they get it to Collier. Shot clock down to, what was it, about eight or so when she gets it. She's got space. She's on the edge of the lane. She drives down. And it's a combination of good defense and a missed layup. And again, initially, they don't show the replay, and you had a timeout. I don't know why they didn't show the replay, to be honest.
Yeah.
I then went back and watched it. There's not a great angle. I don't think it was a foul. But then you do have the play that everybody's talking about. It's clear cut that Stewart takes minimum four steps. It's stunning how many. Then the call, when you've ref the game, the way you have ref the game for the totality of the game, on a play, even if you haven't reffed it that way, I don't think Smith fouls Stewart. To then make that call, then to look at it and offer up the words, the Kamala Harris like word salad explanation.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible.
It was, yeah, it was. That's a hard one to accept. The travel, she caught it at the 3-point line and got into the lane without dribbling.
Yes.
Which
from flat footed. I mean, it's not like she was soaring through the air, flat footed. It gets there. Yeah.
And then if you look at that contact, that would probably rank about 100th in the most violent or most extreme contact that we saw in that game. So I understand what, and good for Cheryl Reeve, because this was not a one game thing. If you talk to, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a great WNBA expert, you know, watch enough of it to know that the officiating is not good. It's not consistent. Certainly not enough for a league that's trying to ascend and become more, have more eyeballs on them. You know, if people were checking in to the WNBA last night to see that game, the league should be embarrassed by the officiating. And you know, and I hate commenting on officiating. I try to make a point not to, because it's,
I'm with you.
My rule is it's a loser's lament, but on this case, it's unavoidable. And for Collier to not shoot one free throw when she's around the basket and taking it to the basket, I mean, that's just unacceptable.
23 shots. Somebody had a good stat, too. The most shots she ever had in a game before and didn't shoot a free throw was 11. And you're right. She's in there, either in the lane catching it, posting up, outside driving. She's not just a purely three-point shooter. Now, let's get to this point, too, because I think this is an enormous point that has been lost in the conversation. The Liberty were horrendous in the first half. They were terrible. And they had a bit of a flourish, I mean, a bit at the end. So what was it? It was 7 points at halftime. It should have been double. And, you know, the Lynx played well. I don't know if they played great, because Enescu, who, again, just was putrid. For a superstar of that caliber to play that bad, that's so rare for that to happen. And she wasn't any good in game four either. But, Chip, they missed opportunities. They should have been up at some point in the first half by 20. They were that much better, and they missed that. And that haunted them later in the game.
Yeah, Courtney Williams picked a bad time to have a really, really tough game. I mean, she was just not good. I mean, to the point where Cheryl had to take her off the court a number of times, because she just – was it overtime there or there at the end where she – I think she took like three straight shots. And it's like, get the ball to Collier. Like, put the ball in her hands. Felt like the wrong people were shooting. I thought McBride showed up. She played a terrific game. But when your point guard plays like that – it is really, really hard to win. I mean, what I'm looking at, a 2 of 14 shooting, 5 turnovers, just felt like it was just a bad game for her. And so they were not able to take advantage. We talk about Enescu, but I didn't think Stewart was great either.
No,
She rebounded the ball well, but, I mean, her shooting was way off too. I mean, she could make a shot. And so when you have their two superstars, a combined 5 of 34.
You have to win.
You have to win, but I'll say this, Chad, if you go back, if they don't get that call, they do win.
Yeah, and McBride was really good. I agree with you. But after the two free throws and the call, which they completely blew it, no doubt, McBride gets space from on a switch yeah. on Jones, and she's got, what, 5.1, 5.2? And she just rushed
it. Too soon. Yeah, I didn't understand that.
I didn't understand. For a player, and the more I watched, the more I admired her. She's probably the player during this whole run where I watched casually during this season. I thought, man, she makes shots, and she's tough as nails, man.
Yeah.
She is tough. And it, like, did she think there was 1 second left?
Well, that's what her reaction. I mean, the way she caught and shot it, it almost like it was like 1 second left on. I mean, she had enough time to drive it in there and try to get a better shot. So that was completely rushed. I don't know if she was trying to get a shot up and hope they got an offensive rebound, but she just was way too rushed there. She had more time than that shot suggested.
Yeah, and also you can score more than 2 points in overtime.
Well, that's it. I mean, the overtime, they were terrible. I mean, the turnovers, what they had, 4 turnovers, and just they fell apart. They just, you know, they didn't regroup the way they needed to in overtime. But I'm sure their emotions were, hey, they were that close to a championship, and they felt like, as Cheryl said after the game, they stole it from them. I'm sure that was on their mind, that they had their opportunity there. And then, you know, you open the door with that play and you know, the Liberty come through, but even they weren't great in the overtime either.
No,
I mean, they got the first 5 points, but they couldn't make a shot after that. So it was just a really poorly played championship game
that I thought was
dictated by the way it was. They were allowed to just beat on each other and foul each other. And
I would say combination. I don't want to take the players completely off the hook because
no.
If you're watching that and you're thinking, wait a second, and you've missed the previous games, which at times were just brilliant play, but you just watched longer stretches last night. You had a right to say, this is the title game, really?
Well, it is. And I thought the Liberty, particularly the first half, the pressure got to them.
Yes. That's why I'm saying the lead should have been so much bigger.
Their shots were coming up short. They were rushed. They looked nervous as can be in that first half. And that's where, if you can get past the officiating thing and say, okay, what are you going to put on the links? They didn't do enough in that first half to have a big enough lead to take advantage of the Liberty feel in the moment. And they let him hang around enough to where that happened.
Let's put Chipper on hold. It's rare when we don't start with the Vikings, especially as anticipated as the Vikings and Lions game was and as entertaining as was. But the Liberty and the Lynx, huge talker, and it was the championship last night. Has Chip's opinion changed in the Vikings off yesterday? He'll tell us when we come back off right here on CCO.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chip Scoggins right back with us. Do you agree the two best teams in the NFC played yesterday at U.S. Bank? Was that your feeling before the game, and is it your feeling after the game?
I do. I think the Lions proved to me, and I think probably a lot of people, that they are – really good. I think they're the best team in the NFC, the most complete team.
Yep.
Even losing Hutchinson, obviously a great player. But I think their offense is so difficult to defend that I don't say it won't matter because that's you know, not right. But I just think they're good enough offensively that they can score a lot of points against good defenses. And Brian Flores' defense has been dictating everything this season until yesterday, and I just thought the Lions had won that matchup.
Well, that's, you know, I opened the show by saying my opinion of the Vikings changed very, very little off that game.
I agree.
And then Dave's comeback was, wait a second, what about the defense? And I said it's fair because we can look at these games where they've built up huge leads and give them credit for that too, by the way, but also watch how Green Bay scored a lot and the Jets scored a lot and the 49ers came back. And then you look at four straight scores yesterday. But for me, I'm giving a lot of credit to that Lions offense. Like you said,
Yes. First
of all, we are debating this. Like, Mahomes is the best quarterback. Jackson's the second best quarterback. Is it possible Jared Goff is the third best quarterback in the National Football League? Is that absurd to say that?
Well, I will say this, and it's hard because I don't ever want to take anything away from him because I think he's terrific. But he is surrounded by
–
he's in a great situation. I mean, he has probably
right.
the best offensive line.
Yep.
They can run the ball with anybody. He has two quality running backs
yep.
in Gibbs and Montgomery.
Right.
And then a host of receivers that are good.
Great tight end. The offensive coordinator, which most people think right now is the most creative guy in football as an offensive coordinator.
But that also discredits him in the same way mm-hmm. that when Sam Darnold was playing well earlier this season, where you say, well, this is all Kevin O'Connell or it's Justin Jefferson or it's whatever. I was like, well, that discredits what the player is doing too, or discounts what he's doing. And I don't do it with golf because I think his accuracy and his ability to remain calm when the pressure is around him. How many times there was one pass where was it Grenard that came around the end and actually grabbed his shoulder pad?
Yes.
I can't remember who it was.
Yes.
But he reset himself and fired the ball down for like a 20-yard gain. It's like, that didn't affect him at all. And how many times was he blitzed or had pressure? And he just stood in there and went through it and threw a great pass. And so he's really calm under pressure, and it doesn't seem like he gets rattled. And I said going in, if the Vikings could not stop the run, then I didn't think they would win, and they didn't stop the run. Gibbs was dynamic. I mean, Montgomery obviously was slow, and then he had the mm-hmm. coming off the injury and then or getting banged up there early and then had the fumble late. But Gibbs is, you know, such a dynamic change of pace with that Cam Bynum, poor Cam Bynum. I mean, turned him inside out in open field, which he probably does that to a lot of guys.
Yeah, right.
So they're really good. And here's the thing. For years, Chad, how many times do we say, just wait for the Lions to screw it up. They'll do something to screw it up in the game. And yeah. Dan Campbell tried too early. I don't know what he was. I know he's aggressive, but that just seems
foolish. I didn't mind it. It's early in the game. I don't know.
Well, here's what I said. The Vikings have not trailed but 3 minutes all season.
And then you give them the
chance. Why would you put them in that position to not have to play from behind? See what they would have to do when they played from behind. Now they came back.
Dan and I played the game, Chip. You just don't.
That's right.
Okay, can I give you one more Goff stat, too? Because the rap on Goff, what a shock. I mean, he's not as good against the blitz, but, like, he really drops off against the blitz. Yesterday when they blitzed, 15-16, he was sacked one time at 165 yards. So let's get to Darnold, because Darnold's numbers were good, and he made some good throws. But if this team is going to play the Lions in the playoffs, normally if you get to past the wild card round, you get to the divisional round, those are the great quarterbacks. Okay, those are and he has exceeded our expectations, and he had the poor six quarters, but there were plays yesterday when Jones was wide open. He threw that horrible interception to Branch. Then he's got Addison really open on the 3rd and 7. It was a bit of confusion when Addison and Jefferson are lined up, but he's got Jefferson. It's just, it's that small amount. And I do wonder if this year keeps going very well for them, if in that small amount he can be that good if they're playing a great team.
Well, yeah, and when you're playing the Lions, there is no really margin for error the way they are playing right now. And you go back to, okay, week two, moment of truth, he makes that seam route pass up the middle, or up that seam to Naylor. Great pass, had to have it. Green Bay, after that game got close, he makes the great passes to Justin Jefferson. Well, yesterday when they had to have that third down to keep the ball, was it 3rd and 4, he overthrows Jefferson, and that's the difference. Like, those first two games or those other games, he made that critical throw and they won the game. Yesterday he was off and they don't win it, and it's tough to put that all on the quarterback, but guess what, that's what you look at when you play that position. And so you're right, his numbers are really good, but like that critical throw that they needed him to complete, he missed on it yesterday. And so does that shake your confidence in him? I don't think so. I mean, you'd like to see him complete it, but when you get in the playoffs, like you mentioned, and you're playing great teams all the time, you're going to need him to make those clutch throws. And so you'd hope that he's going to be able to, more times than not, complete those.
We've talked, I bet, 3 times since the season started about O'Connell and aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just his big mantra. So when they get the ball back, when they stop him, and they're ahead 29-28. They go Jones for 4. They go Jones for 2. And then that throw we were talking about where, you just laid it out. What did you think about how he approached that, considering how he's throwing the ball more? It's, Jones is really good. He gets 4. I mean, that's pretty intoxicating to get 4. But what did you think? Just that situation and judging O'Connell all year.
I didn't mind it because you're in your 4-minute offense there, right? So you want to be able to run the ball to chew some clock. And Jones was at about 6 yards a carry, 6.5 yards a carry yesterday, and he'd had some big ones. So I don't mind trying to pick it up on the ground if you can. The pass, you need to be able to complete that, right? I mean, if you complete that, the game's probably over, because then they're down to, 2 minutes, and they've already had they taken 2 timeouts at that time. No, they saved him. But you're probably going to still win the game there because you need one more first down. But I don't mind running Jones because he was having some success against him, and so it didn't necessarily bother me there because we've seen
I'm with you
about throwing the ball there. But when you have Jones and he's getting positive yards and he's getting 6 yards, I was just watching before I came on here. I was watching the press conference Jones had after the game because I wasn't there. But he was saying, hey, that's on me. As a running back, when you're in 4-man offense, you've got to move the chain. So I like that he took that responsibility. And so I didn't really necessarily have a problem with the play call.
I didn't either, but I felt like because we've talked about it so much, it was worth revisiting because, 4:20, You get, you know, you force them to use those two timeouts. You get two first downs. It's ball game. All right, brother. Great stuff. Talk to you next week.
All right, brother. We'll see you.
Chip Scoggins, Politics and Religion with Reed Forgrave when we come back on CCO. Reed Forgrave with an excellent story in the Star Tribune about faith leaders and politics. And Reed, like all of our guests, again, StarTribune.com, that story available to you. Like all our guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Hello, Reed. Good to have you on again. Why don't we start with the Johnson Amendment? A lot of people know about it. Some don't. Why don't you explain the Johnson Amendment and then add, as you did in your story, how little enforcement there is with the Johnson Amendment in our country.
Yeah, I mean, we think of, if we ever think of the Johnson Amendment, what we think of is, hey, there's this strict wall between politics and, you know, not just faith communities, but also charitable nonprofits, which is what the Johnson Amendment covers. And we think, oh, you can't talk any politics from the pulpit. That's not exactly true. What you cannot do if you want to maintain your tax exempt status is that faith leaders cannot go out and say, they may not campaign on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate for public office. But you can walk right up to that line. You can say, this is what this church believes. This is say, you can say basically everything except vote for Kamala Harris, vote for Donald Trump. And you can even, and this, to be honest, surprised me. If you are, let's say you're a preacher, and this happened in Harlem not that long ago, you can have your Sunday service. You can go out front and say, now I'm in my capacity, not as a pastor, but as a private citizen. And I am endorsing Kamala Harris for president. You can do that and technically not be in violation of this.
Can I jump in on that?
Please.
That stuns me. I mean, if the two of us are going and we see this preacher, this rabbi, you name it, and then they walk out of their place of worship and it's right there, and now it's, I want you to donate money to Donald Trump, or I want you to vote for Kamala Harris. Come on. Literally, we're right here. We're just barely outside the facility, and that's all the separation you need?
I do think when you talk with a lot of faith leaders, a lot of them are careful to not cross that line, are careful to be like, look, even on my Twitter, where I'm a private citizen, I'm not going to be overtly partisan. I think there's a difference between being partisan and political, right? Like, you can say, hey, our church is against abortion, or our church is for reproductive rights, without saying, hey, take that to the next step, and therefore you should vote for X candidate. Like, I think people understand faith communities are allowed to have very strong values, but when they can cross that line is when they actually stump for a candidate, but do it in the capacity of being, you know, in the pulpit, as the capacity of the pastor or imam or rabbi. It is. I mean, look, is this law toothless? I think a lot of people would say that. So the Johnson Amendment came about in the 1950s, named after LBJ, Lyndon Johnson, when he was a senator, helped bring this into being. And according to like an early 2000s report, there have only been two instances of faith communities losing their not tax exempt status.
That's
due
laughable.
To this.
Come on.
Yeah, it is. I mean, look, and I think part of it is because the IRS they'll like send letters to be sort of like cease and desist letters. It's like, oh, sorry, I don't want to risk that. So the churches will then, or other faith communities will then back off. But yeah, it is a somewhat toothless law, and I think you're seeing a lot of faith leaders kind of pushing those lines, especially in the election year.
Okay, this is Reed Forgrave from the Star Tribune. You're counting yourself, you had seven individuals work on this. All across the state. And so collectively, you guys saw a number of services. So when you judge this, and you've laid it out very well in your first two answers, how subtle are some people and how overt are others when we're talking about the leaders of that place of worship? Because some are very good, know if anybody was checking, if there's some Johnson Amendment Commission and they came there, they would never even be close to it. And you say, okay, I probably know where they lean, but It's nowhere near. And others would be like, okay, I got a violation 5 minutes in. Just the disparity your team saw across the state.
Yeah, so I think we, between in-person stuff and watching a few services online, because we all wanted to do this over the course of like one long weekend, I think we went to more than a dozen services across the state, all sorts of different denominations of Christianity. Plus, I went to a Rosh Hashanah service. I had a colleague who went to a mosque down in Mankato. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think, like, as far as like on the right side of the law, I think most, if not all, of these faith communities stayed on the right side of tax laws. There was one church, and I brought this up too. I talked with a Notre Dame professor who's an expert on like election tax law, and I brought up a few of these examples. There was a church in North Minneapolis that I went to where they had all sorts of DFL-affiliated politicians come speak to the church. This was at Shiloh Temple. But the context of this was not electioneering. The context was, hey, we just opened a food shelf, and it got county money, it got state money, it got local government money. You had Jacob Fry, you had Ilhan Omar come and say, hey, church members, you guys are doing a service to this community. Good for you. They weren't saying, hey, you know, I'm Ilhan Omar, come vote for me. Mm-hmm. So according to this tax lawyer, they were still on the right side of the line. There was another church where it put on its screen, hey, here are 9 members of our congregation who are running for local and statewide office. Some of them were nonpartisan offices. Some of them were political affiliated office. And this tax expert said, look, that is probably on the wrong side of this line. I was like, okay, where is this line exactly? And I think this is where it gets hard. It's like, hey, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
That was his answer. Like, you know it when you see it. Like, does that mean if a pastor is going before his or her congregation and saying, this is what we stand for. We stand for the rights of immigrants and of trans people. We stand for abortion is wrong and should be illegal. Is that in the eye of the beholder? You know, according to tax law, no, you're fine. You're fine to say that. Even if you know which political parties are then affiliated by it. But I think this is, and I'm sorry to drone on about this, it's such a fascinating topic, but this is kind of one of the issues here, is all of these political issues, we make them partisan as a society. We say, oh, you're against abortion? Oh, therefore you must be voting for the Republican Party. We make all those on our own. So a pastor, in a way, doesn't even have to make that connection for you.
Yeah, I would say it's both. You're 100% right. I think as divided as we are politically, as both parties move further from the center, then they've played a part too. You know, and obviously the country collectively is not as religious as it once was. I mean, you point out the date on that. You can still believe in your religion, too, and you don't go to service. But even in people identifying themselves, either they are religious or there's a certain religion they follow versus agnostic or atheist, those numbers have jumped up significantly. Reed, always good stuff. Yeah, no, go ahead.
It's awesome to be here. Thanks for having me, brother.
Yeah, all right, man, be good. Reed Forgrave, read this story, StarTribune.com, probably in the paper tomorrow. I want to hear what Dave has to say about it. I'm heartened to hear, Dave, that most places of worship are walking the line appropriately. But we know there's plenty who have not. And when you have tax-exempt status, I don't think it's that difficult to walk that line. I really don't. But if only 2 places since this law ever came into place decades and decades and decades ago, why would a pastor, why would an imam, why would a rabbi even fear anything happening? 2 since this came about in the 50s. There is no punishment. So just appeal.
Just ask those 2.
Yeah, I guess. You know, I'm not asking you to give up your faith, but if you're going to have that tax-exempt status, if someone is so overt and so over the top, and I'm asking my followers to vote for Donald Trump, or I'm asking my followers to vote for Kamala Harris, or, I mean, we're just going to play the game where you just literally just don't say that, But it's so obvious, and that's okay. Because that's probably what's taking place at a lot of these places of worship all across the country.
Growing up Catholic, Chad, still being Catholic? I've heard that sermon just a time or two.
Yes, I bet you have. If you want to chime in, you certainly can. 651-461-9226. Jason will join the conversation. Jason will then lead you up to Henry Lake. Good reminder to H. Lake with Hakeem Jeffries tonight on the show. And hopefully some people listening right now are headed to the Chanhassen Dinner Theater because it's our birthday tonight. We're going to have a big event at Chanhassen Dinner Theater and looking forward to that. Jason's here. I started overrated with Susie and Dave, and I said,
"Did Susie understand overrated?" By the way,
not at all.
Overrated, raking leaves.
Yeah,
I don't. No one rates raking leaves highly.
Apparently, this guy does. This guy.
I heard that nonsense.
There's no chance, right? He's out there in November. Not only he's got a flashlight. And then he turns his car out there, yeah. And then he's got the house lights, and the kids are inside. Dad, we need to eat. Dad, no, I need to rake the leaves.
No. They're actually cheering me on. They're saying, go, Dad. Yeah. Go, Dad. They're bringing me water, Gatorade. It's great.
God.
We're a headlamp, though, not a flashlight.
But you started with...
Who will cause an incident, something tonight?
Yeah.
She's a strong contender. Susie.
Susie is a strong contender. You know, I mean, could there be Shelby shenanigans?
That was another strong one for me.
Yeah.
One of the Shelby shenanigans could be he speaks for 45 minutes.
I have to wrangle Don Shelby and John Williams.
Yeah. Two individuals who like to talk.
I'll just accept everyone's.
And are very good at it.
Everybody's prayers.
Yeah.
And, of course, I have a lot of memories to share of my long tenure here.
Well, that is one of my opening jokes that I'm going to use on you.
It's good.
I gave a preview saying, you know, maybe you introduced, and I look at you, and I'm like, really? I could be up here with, you know, Dave Lee, Denny Long. What have you been here, a week?
Are you going to?
Thank you. That's pretty much.
That was good stuff.
Thank you.
Well timed. Awesome. Can we, are we going to go topical? Are we going to go topical? I was, you know, just kind of workshopping some like WNBA referee jokes to maybe bring out tonight. Like, let's see.
Arnold Palmer. Well,
that guy can swing a driver.
Yeah, he can.
You know what I mean?
Jack Nicklaus joined the show today.
I heard. Yeah. That was impressive.
Very windy.
Yeah, wow. You know, the African safari, I believe.
And he killed, what was the guy's name again?
Oh, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Tough break for his guy. Difficult shot. Which do you think Jack would be skilled, you know? You're going to blow in right into the starts, you know, start time?
Yeah, we're, you know.
You
would have thought they could have set up the show over there or something.
You would not have wanted that.
No, this is fine. I'll do my show. We'll do our thing.
Is this what you're wearing?
I have a
sport coat.
Sport coat. Thought I'd just put over this.
Yeah.
We'll see. Is it going to work? Yeah. Unclear.
How about if I got the t-shirt?
Well, I am wearing like a knit polo shirt, like a polo sweater type thing.
Yeah.
And I thought like.
It's 90 outside.
Right. Should I wear like the t-shirt my kids gave me when I started here? That says face for radio and has an arrow pointing at my face. But that, you know, I think that's,
That could be when you come
don't up. Don't need to go too far.
That could be like second time, you know, like clothing change.
Oh, a costume. I should have missed opportunity by me.
Yeah.
Let's save our best material for tonight.
Tonight.
And just what if we just play this music for 15
seconds? We could. I'm also encouraging people, even if you don't have tickets to show.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Security at Chanhassen Dinner Theater, very weak.
I mean, seriously.
You just overpower Bruce Helmer and get in there.
Exactly. And then spoon with Susie at some point.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.